KALW. From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from San Francisco and I live in Berkeley.
Off Piedmont Avenue.
I was born in Costa Rica.
Coming up, Bay Area Muslims celebrate Eid al-Fitr. First, we go to an Oakland mosque where both Sunni and Shia Muslims pray and sing together.
He said, my mother is Sunni and my father is Shia, and so he said, we call ourselves sushi.
Then Ramadan is over. That means Muslims are going from fasting to feasting, maybe on some Uyghur Chinese food.
We have the cumin lamb, cumin beef. That's Uyghur style.
And the spiritual beats of Black San Jose rapper Tyson Amir.
We're deeper than just the physical material around us. There's a spiritual essence to us.
That's all coming up next today on Cross Currents. The Islamic month of Ramadan is ending. Muslims around the Bay Area are celebrating the end of the month when they fasted from food and drink every day from dawn to dusk. About 250,000 Muslims live in the Bay Area. About 75% of them identify as Sunni and just 4% as Shia. Mosques here are generally identified by sect. You have, say, the Sunni mosque, and that's the Shia mosque, the Sufi mosque. But the Islamic Cultural Center of Northern California, or ICCNC, has made itself purposefully into a place where all of these worshipers meet. It's located in Oakland, a block from Lake Merritt. And unlike most of the 108 mosques in the Bay Area, the ICCNC was founded by Shia Muslims, not Sunnis. Through much of their history, Sunni and Shia Muslims have lived peacefully together in countries like Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. But since the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, sectarian conflict has escalated in that region, and there can be a lot of tension between Sunni and Shia, but not here. I visited the mosque on the day they were celebrating the Prophet Muhammad's birthday in this piece from our archives. First off, it doesn't look like your average mosque. The towering, majestic, turn-of-the-century building used to be a Masonic temple. There's no minaret, and they left the temple's tall, painted glass windows as is. Manager Azita Seya gives me the tour.
Kindergarten, we have a library here that serves our cultural goals. And we have rooms that are specifically for when we have an exhibition.
Because it was founded by Iranian immigrants, the second language here is Persian, as the wall decor shows. And the floors. Persian rugs are scattered around on cherry wooden floors, and Islamic art adorns the walls. They host plays, open mic nights, drumming, painting, and ceramics classes. Artistic expression is a focus here for a reason, says mosque leader Ali Sheikhul Islami. He says it fills an important gap in the conversation about Islam.
I think one missing thing in the whole right now today is the beauty, you know, really, really paying attention to the beauty of Islam and its rich history.
Which is why this doesn't sound like your average mosque either. Music is definitely something you don't hear in other Islamic centers. Most mosques preach against even listening to music, let alone performing. On this night, I walk into the huge auditorium where dozens of people are sitting in chairs and pews facing a stage. On stage, under a large embellished dome, a Moroccan musician in a traditional white and gold hooded robe stands playing his oud. Next to him, a drummer with a dumbek. The word Allah, or God, is illuminated in calligraphy behind them on the wall. The walls are adorned in Arabic calligraphy with God's attributes. The compassionate, the generous, the merciful. Then there's a black piano in a side pit and a huge golden pipe organ up high on a balcony behind the audience. Ask anyone who's been to a mosque, this scene is definitely not a common one. And that's exactly why Ali Sadri came here tonight from San Jose.
It's a unique experience. So if you go to a traditional, like, you know, Muslim place, that's not something that you're gonna, you know, get. So I mean, that's why it's more fun, and I thought it's a good place, you know, for my kid and my wife to enjoy.
Fun. When's the last time you heard any place of worship described that way? Tonight is the celebration of Prophet Muhammad's birthday. Also, not a common event in mosques because many Muslim leaders shun birthday celebrations altogether. The Moroccan musician is singing the praises of the Prophet, an ancient and beloved tradition in many Muslim communities. Look around the room and you'll see people who are white, black, Asian, people in elaborate green and white Sufi robes and sashes, others in black robes and Shia headdress. Some women wear scarves on their heads, some don't. There's even a guest Jewish rabbi in the house tonight. And this is also what sets the ICCNC apart. Sure, it was founded by Shia Iranians, but everyone is welcome here, says one of the founders, Ahmed Sheikhul Islami.
Maybe the best example for the non-Muslim audience would be that if you had a multi-denominational church where, you know, Presbyterians and, you know, Lutherans and, I mean, there would be services and activities that they could do together.
In this case, it's Shias and Sunnis joining together, two groups that have been in the headlines for the past decade, killing each other in Iraq, Syria, or Lebanon. Yasin Ali Jones has made the trip tonight from Sacramento. He's decked out in an elaborate green Sufi robe and turban.
It's the first place where I got to interact with Shia and Sunni together. So it's definitely special to me.
He identifies as Sufi Sunni and says nights like this, in times when extremism is on the rise, are when Sunni-Shia unity is especially important.
I'm definitely hearing similarities in our reactions to extremists and extremism too. And definitely people are very firm in their stand against that type of behavior and attitudes towards other people.
The night is festive, but somber as well. Santa Clara engineer Salman Mashaikh says he's enjoying the night, and it's making him ponder what the Prophet would say about the recently heightened Sunni-Shia divide.
To me, it's nonsense, Shia and Sunni people like fighting each other and killing each other. That's just not something that the Prophet would have wanted. We need to work together and sit with each other and, you know, listen each other out and just have our own beliefs and not fight over anything.
Ahmed Sheikhul Islami says being in the U.S. far away from the violence gives room for that kind of Sunni-Shia dialogue.
The unique thing about the American experience is that we are able to come to this country and practice the religion the way we want to, and to do it in a way that we're tolerant of each other.
Tolerance means having dialogue, even friendship and warmth. But what happens when they're part of the same family? Ask 35-year-old educator Imrul Mazid.
I identify as Shia, yeah. My parents are Sunni, but we're all Muslim, you know, it's all one.
Are there some interesting conversations at home around the dinner table then, if your parents are Sunni and you're Shia?
No, I mean, you know, we respect one another, we love one another, you know, if you're grounded in love for the Prophet and his family, that's all that matters.
A friend introduced Mazid to Shiism in his early 20s. He acknowledges the theological and historical differences between himself and his parents that do cause heated debate with Sunnis. Like the question of who should have succeeded the Prophet after his death is a big one. So when talking to his parents or other Sunnis, he avoids those contentious topics. He says it's frustrating others can't see past these. He says he's especially tired of people nitpicking differences in the smallest things, like how to stand during prayer.
You got to be smart, you know, unity first. So I don't think it's necessary to, oh man, your hands, you pray like this, man, your hands are like this, my hands are like that. You do, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, it's about the message itself.
And this is a place that supports all forms of Muslim prayer. Mazid is part of a growing number of mixed Sunni-Shia families in the United States, and there's even a name for them. Ahmed Sheikhul Islami explains.
One day we were talking to a friend and he said, my mother is Sunni and my father is Shia. And so he said, we call ourselves sushi. So we like that. That's a good way.
Sushis.
We are one. We should not, these things should not divide us, you know. We're all humans, you know. We're all sushi, yeah.
As the audience joins the singer in praise of the Prophet Muhammad on his birthday, their collective voices soar high into the Oakland night sky. And I think that word also describes this place where Sunni and Shia meet, pray, talk, eat, and sing together. It's a sushi mosque. You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Hana Baba with a special edition for Eid al-Fitr, celebrating the end of Ramadan. The Uyghurs are a Muslim minority in Western China who've been marginalized for years there. Their origins are interesting, Chinese, but with Turkic and other Central Asian influences. And their food is a fusion of Chinese, Arabic, Turkish flavors and dishes. They have chow mein and lamb kebabs. Yum. There's a small Uyghur community here in the Bay Area and a few restaurants. One of them is in Fremont, and it's called Eden Silk Road Cuisine. The owner is Zuli Ebe, who came here 5 years ago from China's Xinjiang area. I hung out with him in his kitchen while the team cooked dinner one night to have a chat about food.
What did he do? What is he doing?
This is a hand-cut pearl chow mein.
Pearl.
Yeah, pearl chow mein. They cut the noodles and boiling it. After boiling, they will cook. They will fry with meat.
So what are these? We're standing above like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 square containers of all kinds of sauces and spices. Can you tell me what some of these are?
Yeah. This is a salt, this is a potato starch, this is a oil, this is garlic, this is a black soy sauce, this is a black pepper, this is cumin.
Cumin?
Yeah, this is cumin.
Is cumin used in regular Chinese food or just Uyghur?
Just Uyghur. We have the cumin lamb, cumin beef, that's Uyghur styles. It is very similar to kebab, this testing kebab, but we not on the grill, we do the on the oven, but you eat.
Fry it?
Yeah, fry it. After fried, you eat that the cumin lamb, cumin beef. It is very similar to test like kebab. Kebab testing. Mm-hmm. It is very good. And we can.
What's your favorite food to eat from the time of, you know, your family back home? Did your mom used to cook a lot?
Yeah, I love Uyghur noodles. We call it lagman.
Lagman.
Lagman. Lagman is my favorite. I love my mom's lagman, and all the Uyghur peoples love lagman too. Some of the words, if anybody cannot eat lagman in 1 week, he will be die.
And you make it here?
Yeah, yes, we have lagman because lagman is our main dishes, our specialty. And we have big plate chicken, we call this dapenji. That's my favorite. And our
dapenji.
Dapenji. Dapenji is my restaurant first sales.
Your restaurant is the first to sell it?
Yes. Almost. All the Chinese people or the local American people love dapenji. It is a long plate, just this plate. Long plate. There's a noodle on the below, and up is tomatoes, chicken. You can taste. It's very nice.
And so, what's the most popular dish when people come in? What are they most? What's their favorite?
Most popular is dapenji after kebab. Almost 80% tables you can find tapenji or kebab. Because all the people know, almost 3 years we opened this restaurant, all our customers know about, they have some idea. They didn't look at the menu, they call, hey, give me one tapenji, one kebab. That's it. Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, straight up.
So here in the Bay Area, is it a big community of Uyghurs?
Not very big, maybe over 500 Uyghur peoples here. But over 20,000 Xinjiang people is here, not Uyghurs. They are from, they are Han, they are Chinese, not Uyghurs. But over 20,000 Chinese people, very low Uyghur foodies. Because they are living in Xinjiang, they love Uyghur culture, Uyghur food.
What is this delicious thing that's being fried right now?
Yeah, you're right now frying the chicken, tomatoes, napa cabbage, and the mushroom, the garlic. This is very important for the hand-cut pearl chow mein.
Lots of garlic.
Yeah, yes, lots of garlic, ginger, and peppers, and onion.
And one of those 18 spices you have over
there. Yeah. He wants to put the soy sauce and vinegar right now.
What is his name, Chef? Chef?
Go. Go.
Chef Go.
Chef Go. He is our master chef.
Where did you get the recipes from?
Yeah, I get the most of the recipe from my mom, especially our mutton soup. Our mutton soup is very nice. I came here, opened the restaurant, and my mutton soup is not very tasty as my mom. So I called her several times. She tell me every details, every ingredients. And in the end, I can do it.
She must be very proud of you.
Yes, of course.
And can you teach me something in your language? Just how do I say goodbye and thank you?
Thank you is Rahmat.
Rahmat.
Goodbye is Khosh.
Rahmat Khosh. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. So far, we've met some Bay Area Muslims who are Chinese, Moroccan, Iranian, white. But talking about Muslims wouldn't be complete without Black Muslims. Hip-hop artists like Yasiin Bey, known as Mos Def, Q-Tip from Tribe Called Quest, and Lupe Fiasco all identify as Muslim hip-hop artists. Their music mostly veers away from rap themes of drinking, braggadocio, girls, or money. Instead, they talk a lot about personal reflection and faith, family, politics, and social justice issues. In this edition of Bay Area Beats, we meet San Jose rapper Tyson Amir and get to know how his faith informs his music. This is my purpose, as long as your brother's up on the surface. I'm on my shit, you're working, that's from birth to the dirt. And this my purpose, as long as your brother's up on the surface. I'm on my shit, you're working, that's from birth to the dirt. And this my purpose.
In early age, I was influenced by the different religious traditions that I saw around me. I grew up in a very diverse community. In San Jose, I had Vietnamese friends, I had Filipino friends, I had, you know, a lot of different Latino friends. I had friends that came from various parts of the African continent. And so I was exposed to a lot of different religious traditions, Islam, Buddhism. I had some friends who were Jains, Sikhs. I had friends who were, of course, various parts of the Christian spectrum, Catholic, Protestant, and all different denominations of Protestantism. And I was just fascinated by all of it. But what resonated with me, primarily because of the historical tradition that I inherited from my parents, which was more of a Black nationalist from the civil rights movement, was Islam. I was influenced by the Nation of Islam, even though I did not adopt that. Still, the manners, the mores of the people of the Nation of Islam really resonated with me somehow, some way, and it attracted an ear, it attracted my eye, and you know, if we're talking like spiritually, it attracted my heart. I'm on my day of work, and that's my birth to the dirt. Friend is my purpose, as long as your brother's upon the surface. I'm on my day of work, and that's my birth to the dirt. I like the idea of connection. So in Islam, there's the concept of the unity of God, Tawheed, you know, like God is one. Like Islam is real strict on its monotheism, right? But in that idea, if there's one creator, the creation is also part of that initial act of creation. So it's all connected. I love that idea. And then even stepping out of the monotheistic paradigm and going to like the Eastern traditions, like with Hinduism, the concept of Brahman, like Brahman, and how everything is connected through that. All is one. And like, I want my music to call to that because I want my music to be able to touch all people. So let's go ahead and give the people Karma of the Streets. It's the karma of the streets, the tragedy, the comedy, the drama of my peeps, the victims of economy, the slave traders' colony. So follow me as we wander free through the karma of the streets.
It's the karma of the streets, the tragedy, the comedy, the drama of my peeps, the victims of economy, the slave traders' colony. So follow me as we wander free. The karma of the streets, it's the karma of the streets, the tragedy, the comedy, the drama of my peace, the victims of the economy, the slave traders colony, so follow me as we bond the free.
I try to talk about hope because I need to be hopeful to survive. I talk about love. Love is the foundation of any revolutionary movement. You can't be a revolutionary and just be bloodthirsty or just want change without that being motivated by love. You have to be able to see people and want to help people.
Yes, the boy on beats with the Blastmaster Tyson.
This song is Remember from the album Purpose. And so talk about like my history and my upbringing as an artist and then also my family. And so those elements are focused on prominently in the song. And I think, you know, folks will enjoy it.
You never make it this far, boy. You never make it this far.
Remember.
And I remember all the nights when I used to dream. I used to see. One day I shine like a star, One day I'ma shine like a star.
I talk about struggle because the struggle is very real for a lot of people throughout the world, especially in the American context. So I want people to be able to hear that. I want people to be able to hear the process or the journey of trying to find balance and peace. We're deeper than just the physical material around us. There's a spiritual essence to us. So I want people to be able to hear that in the music and connect to that. It's a very multi-dimensional experience that I try to articulate. It's the mind, it's the body, it's the soul, it's the heart, it's the people around you. It's trying to defeat the ego and the appetites of the desires, like just trying to find a middle way to be able to live peacefully in the world and make a positive contribution. I think my music tries to speak to that.
Tupac Shakur's, it was keep your head up, beside to I get around. Digital underground, me and my boys, we would sit around, dreaming of selling our shows and rocking every crowd, man.
That was San Jose rapper Tyson Amir. You can catch him on Saturday, June 23rd. He'll be reading from his new book, Black Boy, at the Oakland Public Library. Details are at klw.org. Click Cross Currents.
Look out the window of a plane, the touchdown, the runway, then on to a stage where everybody knows my name. It's a good thing I never listened to what they had to say.
And that's our show. Today's Cross Currents team includes engineer James Rollins, our managing editor is Jen Chien, Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
I remember my mother, she used to tell me, she used to say, boy, don't you know that you're a star, boy, don't you know that you're a star. Now I love it when they say, there goes T.Y., your brother, man, no other soul, brother. I get it from my mother's hand. Pop was in the movement, smuggling truth like...